Welcome to episode 303 of In Touch with iOS, the show that talks about iPhone, iPad, Apple Watch, Apple TV, and related technologies. I'm your host, Dave Ginsberg, and I have two guests this week. First off is Jill McKinley back on the show. How are you doing, Jill? Great to see you.
I'm doing great. It's great to see all of you, too.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're here. And I'm also so glad, returning from NAB and almost 2 weeks off of Mac Voices Live, it's Chuck Joyner. How are you doing, Chuck?
Where? Oh, I'm good, Dave.
Yeah.
thanks for having me. Yeah, it feels like I haven't seen you guys forever.
I know. It's been too long. But we also have Jeff Gamet here this week. How are you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing well. And I want to point out, since it's episode 303, that puts you in my hood, because 303 is one of the area code.
That's right. Ben Raythick couldn't make it this week, but I know he's having fun at his festival out his way, but we'll miss him, and he'll be back next week. Besides that, we have lots of things to talk about, including all kinds of things, including an event that was announced. We'll talk about that, and beta, we'll talk a little bit about that, and lots of news and all that other fun stuff that happens. But let's just go ahead and jump right into the topics. As I mentioned, beta is running fast now. And 1 week after beta 2 came out, beta 3 is out to developers and in the public. Just a lot of different things, hints at the Apple Pencils that are becoming new. We'll be talking about that for the event in just a bit here. Some battery health features and for the iPad, and all kinds of other stuff. And we've been talking about it, so just be aware that that's out. Also, the third beta of Vision Pro, the Vision of OS 1.2. That's coming out here in a couple weeks as well, let's hope. No any further improvements with personas or eyesight or other features that people have been not so happy about with Vision OS, but hopefully we'll see some improvements there. We also have watchOS 10.5 for Watch, Apple Watch. Nothing to talk about really there. And tvOS, we've got that at 17.5 as well. And yeah, that's pretty much all we could say about beta. There isn't really much exciting in that place here, so I will just go ahead and move on. But I will talk about that Apple did announce that they are having an event. Woo! Let loose. It's going to be on May 7th, 2024. And it's amid all these rumors of the iPads that were supposed to be coming out in April, and they kept saying, oh yeah, they'll be out soon, and all the rumors are coming through, and yeah, and finally they have an announcement. It's going to be in a special event. It's Tuesday, May 7th, and it's starting, in those Pacific time zone people, 7 a.m. East Pacific time, 10 a.m. Eastern time, so that's happy for our Eastern time and Central time friends. It'll be a live stream, be available on Apple.com and YouTube, the usual suspects where they have the event. The tagline is Let Loose, and the show has an artistic rendering of an Apple Pencil, suggesting that iPads will be the focus of the live event, which we pretty much can anticipate that. I'd like to know, Jeff, what do you think is going to be announced?
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say Apple is going to announce that iPad OS 17.5 and iOS 17.5 will be available on the 7th. So they will announce at the event that
makes sense.
That they're releasing those new versions. As far as other announcements, I think it's a pretty safe bet that we'll get the new iPad announcements that we've been anticipating, and we will get a new version of the Apple Pencil. And what I'm really, really hoping is that Apple does with this model what I felt like they should have been able to do ever since the original plug it up the iPad butt model, the original Apple Pencil model, which is wow. I am so glad you got Chuck's reaction recorded. Anyhow, what I'm hoping Apple does is give us an Apple Pencil that has alternate tips. So you can have like a chisel tip or a something that feels more like a felt tip. What I would love, which would fit great with this rumored squeeze gesture, is an airbrush tip. And then you squeeze the Apple Pencil to simulate pushing the button on an actual airbrush to make your art.
Yeah. Well, it looks like, of course, we got the Red Mac rumor such article here, and it's been all been talked about this. Looks like there's the rumor is that there's going to be two new iPad Pro models with the M3 chip and OLED displays, thinner enclosure, thinner bezels, a matte screen option, landscape-oriented front camera, number of design changes. They're looking at two brand-new iPad Airs, which there could all be also first-ever 12.9-inch Air. I think that's going to be quite a compelling device. I can't wait to find out about that. There'll be a new Magic Keyboard. Of course, they'd have to because they're probably going to change it. It's going to have an aluminum enclosure with larger trackpad and other design tweaks. Like you said, the new Apple Pencil may have a squeeze gesture for certain actions and supports Vision OS eventually. So again, it's been over 2 years since the new iPads have come out. And I think this is going to be a great event. Interestingly enough, it's early in the morning in the Pacific time zone. That's quite unusual for Apple to do that because they generally would do it at 10 a.m. Eastern, at Pacific time, excuse me. So this leads me to believe they just wanted to get it out earlier so the folks on the Eastern time zone, which the biggest population of the United States is going to see it than having to be at the noontime that we were used to it. Chuck, what are your thoughts on this event? Do you think it's a sure thing? I think we're going to have iPads.
I think Jeff kind of hit it on the head. At the very least, the Apple Pencil, most likely the new iPads. You know, it wouldn't surprise me to see some kind of surprise, although I have zero idea what that would be because we're heading into WWDC. So this just feels like, you know, sort of the usual spring kind of event that, although we've seen some things introduced before WWDC before as a bit of a surprise. So you just never know. I mean, I still hold out hope that, you know, we will get that one more thing, even though I don't know what that one more thing could be. But on the other hand, if this is what it is, then it's a good solid update, you know, and it would be an M3 update to the iPads, which would be no small thing. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I don't know that it's going to necessarily drive me to purchase anything, but right now I don't need anything to drive me to purchase anything. I already have too many things I want as it is. So,
Jake, you're being a bad consumer.
Yes, I am, Jeff. But, you know, unfortunately, there are a limited number of dollars in the bucket.
That goes. Jill, are you an iPad user? I'm assuming you are.
And I am an iPad user. I went and got a Pro, promising myself I would not buy a new iPad mini, that this was just going to be my one iPad. Okay. So I did that. But I am intrigued, but I probably won't buy anything this time around. I'm really intrigued about what the M4 chip is going to be, if it's going to do something with AI. And so I'm probably all holds off on anything right now. Yeah.
I'm kind of in the place where I have an M1 iPad Pro with a 11-inch, but I'm intrigued enough to see where the 12.9-inch model is going to go. And obviously cost would be concerned too. And I agree with you. You know, the M4 chip is going to be really interesting with the advent of AI. And I've already got a MacBook Air that I just got with the M3, which is a super fast machine as it is. My primary driver has been the M1 Pro 16-inch. And, you know, that's, I can't believe I'm saying this. It's getting kind of old. It's been, almost 3 years since the M1 came out. So, but still, it's still a very solid Mac. So I'm excited. I think it's going to be a fun thing to watch. I can't imagine if it's going to be a very long event. I mean, if it's just talking about iPads, so you generally like to keep it like within an hour of time, but I'd be curious.
Yeah, but if you clicked the button that said, put it on my calendar, it's a 2-hour block.
It's 2 hours. So interesting. There was an interesting, go ahead, Chuck.
Well, no, Dave, I wanted to put in something Jill said. I wanted to put in a plug for the iPad mini. Just because I have to wonder, I just can't. I'm just back from a 2-day conference where I made a decision to try to pack as light as I could. So instead of taking my full size iPad, I took my mini. And, you know, I've kind of forgot just how nice and convenient that mini is in so many situations that while I always, it's no secret, I love big screens, sometimes they just aren't the best thing to have in front of you. But the mini, you know, is right there. And it, I mean, it's a completely functional iPad. you know, it does not, there are very few compromises. I don't know, maybe somebody can think of one, but at least for what I do, there are no compromises. So will we see an upgrade to it? I don't know. But if we do, that could tempt me.
Yeah, I could be lured that way too.
Yeah. An article I posted here too is there with Apple promoting the Let Loose event. It showed it was using 6 artistic logos, and amid that expectation of the new Apple Pencil, they randomly appear upon the refreshing of the Apple's homepage. They did this back in 2018 when they promoted its There's More in the Making event, where it saw the introduction of the radically redesigned iPad Pro and second generation Apple Pencil. So they get a little artistic, and then of course, Tim Cook, you got looking on X, that showed a little video of someone holding an Apple Pencil with the artistic Apple logo. So it's kind of a gimme, given I would think that something's going to happen with the Pencil, I think, with those graphics. They're kind of cool graphics, and don't you guys think?
They are.
Oh, yeah. They're very colorful, very intricate. Yeah. I mean, at the very least, it makes you wonder if there's some significance to having that many different things. Does that represent the number of different iPad models, or could it be, Jeff, you know better than I do, possibility of more than just one new pen, you know?
Yeah.
You know, Apple loves to code things.
Yeah. I welcome the new colors. You know, one of the things that always bummed me out is Mac and Apple was always white everything. Didn't want a white computer. It was just getting messy all the time. But colors, I love the colors. So I'm excited about that, whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah, or maybe it even means that could be introducing some new colors with iPads. Very possible. So we'll find out. So I think May 7th is what, about two, three weeks away here before that happens. So we'll have fun times to speculate until we have our event to watch here. So let's go ahead and move on. And Chuck, you just got back from the National Association of Broadcasters, also known as NAB, from Las Vegas. And I did post a couple of your videos that you've already posted out on your site, which is great. I especially was excited to see you talk to the folks from LumaTouch and LumaFusion. Why don't you give us kind of a highlight? What you experiences? You said it was only like a 2-day event, and I know you got to see some friends too, which was great.
Yeah, well, actually, it's a 4-day event, but I spent 3 days. I didn't stay for the last day. But yeah, you know the way. You can do NAB a lot of different ways. I do it 2 different ways. The first for me is the post-production conference tracks, because that's where you can go to participate in the education aspect of it and learn things. And I always try to seek out all the Final Cut sessions that I can possibly find. But they also have sessions especially oriented toward those who are, you know, making their living in this industry about how to manage social networks, you know, billing philosophies, utilities that have more to do with the business side of it. So it really is a full featured kind of thing if you want to go for that and just immerse yourself. The other part for me, the part I skip, there are 3 main parts. The part I skip tends to be all the news conferences and things like that. And you always have big name stars there of some kind. That really, my time is too short there. And so it's got to be somebody really, really impressive for me to spend the time there. The third way I spend it, though, is on the show floor doing the interviews, because I still think that's a lot of fun. And you're right, Dave. You know, you go year after year, you see a lot of the same people, you develop friendships, you also develop those companies you want to stop and see what they're doing that's new. Sometimes it's more iterative. Sometimes it's just completely off the wall. But as you said, the folks from LumaTouch are always, I think I've started my show the last 2 or 3 years with them. Just because they're, first of all, they're just great people. But second, they just make such an unbelievable product for the iPad for video editing. So I always want to see what they're doing with it, because they really sort of created the video editing market on the iPad that is now populated by Final Cut and some of the Adobe stuff, and DaVinci Resolve, I believe, is on the iPad. So they're the ones that got started first, and what they're squeezing out of the iPad and the M1 chips, the power is just staggering. So far, the videos I've published, as you said, LumaTouch or LumaFusion, Jim Tierney of Digital Anarchy, and I always seem to try to cross paths. This year, they were showing an upgrade to their Beauty Box plugins that is automatic teeth whitening for your videos. And he does a little bit of, I mean, that's tough enough to do in stills. And now they're doing it with video. And then we sort of segued into a discussion of AI, which is where I'll take this, because AI was just everywhere.
I bet.
Some people are really into it. Some people are skeptical. Some people are just flat out afraid. So it almost depends on who you talk to. And, you know, I sat through one discussion that was a bit contentious among some folks about AI and what it's doing to video production and what it has the potential to do to the industry. You know, I don't know that it's quite that dire a situation yet anyway, but, you know, it is definitely on the radar. And, you know, there, some of the things you can get out of some of these models, and especially as you would expect with NAB, it's very much oriented toward the graphic side of things and inputting just text and getting out these crazy images. But there's still a number of weak spots, and I'm not going to go into all that here because that could be a whole show in and of itself. And then there are the hardware manufacturers that, you know, come back every year with something new. The other best part for me, though, is not just seeing the old friends, but meeting the new people and, you know, looking at a press release and saying, that looks interesting, going over to their booth and finding it. And, you know, you kind of expect these booths to be reasonably rather sizable. And instead, they might be the size of my desk, but they're showing some really, really cool stuff. There's one that, forgive me, you can check out the Mac Voices site once I get all the videos uploaded, but there was one that they are selling hard drives, encrypted hard drives with a keypad as opposed to biometrics.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, and the point they were making, selling it a lot of different ways, but the idea that, you know, you want to have secure place for your data. But if it's biometrics and something happens to you, guess what? They can't get in. But this way, if you put your data in there and then share the code with someone else that, you know, is important to you, at least that way they could get in. And they've really thought it through well, because they have not just, like, if it were Jeff and he's working for me, the device can have two codes. It can have his code, but then I can have an administrator code. So, nice. You know, I could give each one of you one of these drives. You could each have your own codes that nobody else has, but also there's an administrator code that if anything happened to any of you, I could get into those drives. So that was really a very, very cool piece. And you just go on and on. You know, I don't want to spoil too many of them. And frankly, sometimes you end up, you know, kind of forgetting everybody you've talked to. I will say that I had a chance to hang up with Doc Rock and his little entourage.
Including
Eden from Camo. We had a great time. You know, a lot of fun things. Camo Rocks, Doc Rocks, obviously.
Doc Rocks. Shout out to Doc. Know,
Ecamm does. So yeah, folks can get a little bit of a sense of what's going on at NAB that is more relatable to them than, you know, maybe relatable to a network executive.
Yeah, Ecamm even announced this week the beta of their new version of integration with Zoom, which is I'm looking forward to playing with. I just downloaded it the other day and I haven't had a chance to play with it yet, but that's going to be something fun for, especially for podcasters who do like us that use Zoom quite a bit and like give another resource of being able to send out your content if you liked the Zoom interface and using Zoom, that they got that going too. So I know, and I saw Rode announce a couple of new products, and I saw a lot of, I'm sure there was plenty of microphone companies out there, Audio Technica and many of the other brands are out there that relate to media and that kind of stuff and cameras, and I'm sure it was endless.
Yeah, I actually, when Doc and a gentleman from Zoom, and then a representative from Shure, there doing that announcement. And I was just off camera, you know, cheering it on. So yeah, that's a great thing. You know, you're there and you're seeing the people that are actually doing this stuff. You're watching them interact with each other. I should have, you know, one, I, that everyone will know is I got a chance to talk to Larry O'Connor again from OWC.
That's a given.
Yeah, well, it is.
Larry's just awesome.
Yeah. He is, and it's but every single time they come out with, you know, great stuff,
new products,
and they it's not just the stuff for the super high end; it's also the stuff that any of the four of us could benefit from. Yeah. So, you know, it's a stop that if you're in the market for hardware, you have to stop at OWC and see what's going on.
Absolutely. Oh yeah, there was a lot of new products I saw, and there we'll might even talk about those in future shows. But Jeff or Joe, did you have anything you wanted to add with NEB? Questions?
I was going to say, no, it's exciting, you know, to see where it's going and helping people who are not video, you know, just regular people get videos out. I find it very cumbersome. And so I'm excited to see if maybe AI and some of these other high-end tools will make it easier just for the regular schmo to put a video out.
Yeah.
Jill, that's an interesting point. And yes, there are services. I mean, there's still going to be a basic level of skill, and it depends on how demanding you are too.
Yeah.
But yeah, and there's this little matter of the price tags, but that just keeps getting better.
Yep. Well, speaking of AI, I wanted to have a couple topics here regarding to AI. Apple did release an open source AI models that run on device that just was announced yesterday as we record here. Apple today released several open source large language models, or LLMs, that are designed to run on device rather through cloud servers, called OpenELM. That's Open Source Efficiency Language Models. They are the LLMs that are available on the Hugging Face Hub, a community for sharing AI code. And there's a white paper about it, and has about a total of 8 OpenELM models, four of which are pre-trained using the Cornet library and other things. It's quite an interesting thing here that Apple has done, and that just kind of is going to show you where we can kind of have to anticipate that there's going to be some great announcements at WWDC regarding AI for sure. Jeff, what do you think on this? You know, you've been dabbling a little bit in LLMs, and I think this is an interesting thing that Apple announced.
Yeah, this is the sort of AI LLM announcement that I would expect from Apple. And I have not had a chance to download their models yet. But Hugging Face is a great place to go to find all the different models. So when I have a chance over the next couple days, I plan on downloading Apple's models and seeing what I can do with them.
And Chuck, you said you saw a lot of AI stuff, that this is not surprising that Apple released this.
No, I mean, we've heard a lot of things about, you know, what Apple's been working on. Where I think the intersection is going to be interesting is the intersection of AI and privacy, because as you said, these are on-device models, as opposed to some of the other things that, say, Meta and some of the others are doing. And right. I think that's going to be a place where Apple really tries to sell that hard, and legitimately so. Because there's so much discussion over who's training these models, how they're being trained, what they're being trained on. Are they being used to train each other or train themselves? Which, you know, that you get into a question of whether that's a good idea or not. So yeah. I'm anxious to see how Apple addresses some of this and what they've been training it on. And, you know, I don't know if anybody's taken a look at any of the Apple licenses to see whether we have inadvertently given Apple permission to tap into some of what we do so that they could use it. But even if that has happened, and that is complete speculation on my part, even if that has happened, I still feel pretty comfortable that Apple's not going to abuse that, or that I don't have to worry about anything that I might be concerned with being used to train a large language model that could be out in the wild.
Jill, I'll bring you in on here. Do you have any comments on this and AI?
Well, after last time I was on, Jeff shared with me some local AI, you know, machines that I explored and I looked into. And I agree. I think that there are a few I've just written off. I'm not doing Facebook. I'm not doing this one or that one because I don't trust them at all. And this gives me hope. And I have friends who are very leery of AI. And they worry about what it's going to do and their privacy. And I think this is the perfect spot to sit in where it can help you without ransacking your life and putting everything out there and using it to train itself. I did see Apple was paying people upfront, telling them, we would like to train on your magazines or your newspaper articles, and paying them upfront and telling them that. And I liked that. I thought that was a solid move on their part. So I'm excited about this.
Yeah, for sure. And I'll also add that, Chuck, you and I had a conversation thinking about this in the enterprise, working in the business. I'm currently doing some testing, and I find it to be very interesting. How is a company going to be smart enough to be able to keep their system secure, to not allow their information to leak out and get out into that wild west of LLMs and AI for that matter? Microsoft and Copilot, I'm actually thoroughly impressed so far of what their product does, and the fact of being able to be in a meeting and the meeting goes for an hour, and within 30 seconds to a minute, you click a button and it gives you a complete summary of everything that was talked about. And I can think of many things that's how beneficial that's going to be, because you used to be at a meeting and you have someone who plans the agenda and someone who takes the minutes. Now you don't have to have a person doing minutes anymore. Why do you bother? Well, you got this. And how tightly integrated it's in with Microsoft 365, coaching you with when it comes to doing emails in Outlook, being able to help you write a particular document in Word, Excel spreadsheets, being able to crash numbers and using those models to come up with things in PowerPoint, helping create a presentation. They're just, I have only really explored, like all of us, you're looking at Copilot, the free version, because I'm not going to pay Microsoft $20 a month right now, if I would ever, to use those advanced tools. But I've been able to see it firsthand, and wow, it's just Microsoft alone. It's pretty impressive. I mean, even with Google, I know Google is doing it too with their Gemini, I think it is. And so I think many companies are going to do it. But again, we got to worry about privacy. I think that's where our real concern is going to be. But companies are obviously being smart enough to know that they've got it locked down enough that the information is being checked and scanned with information security and making sure that stuff doesn't get out.
I had a good win with ChatGPT a couple of weeks ago where I had to create a spreadsheet, and I asked it, I said, how would I create a spreadsheet like this? And it just gave me the formula. And I said, no, I want you to teach me how to understand this. And it provided a 10-page instruction sheet of each function, what they do, how to use them. And I'm like, that's amazing. That's amazing. See,
that's a legit use for this kind of technology.
Very much so.
Right. Yeah. But Dave, there's one thing you said that I've had some discussions over the past couple of weeks with folks about this.
Yep.
Your example of a meeting summary is perfect in minutes. Okay. Yeah. So, how comfortable can you get? How quick and how reliable is this stuff? I mean, for Jill, it sounded like it works. I can give you a bunch of examples I've used that absolutely work, but I also haven't been designing a jet engine. I also haven't been keeping minutes for a Fortune 500 company. So when is it, what if it hiccups? What if it loses something? What if it doesn't think that maybe something that Jeff said was important and what Jeff said was really critical? That's where, we still need the human fact checking. I don't know how long we need it. And I'm afraid that people are going to get bold. Well, Jeff, it makes you wonder, but I'm concerned with how quickly people are going to get lulled into a false sense of security with some of these things.
I think we're already past that. I don't want to say the majority of people, but a lot of people that are getting into playing around with LLM technology, they don't really understand, and they're just trusting that it's completely accurate. Look at some of the extreme examples, like attorneys that have asked ChatGPT to put together a court filing for them and a legal argument, and it does exactly what they want, which is to create an argument that supports their position, but it's wrong. It's made up. And even down to making up case law that it cites. And then these attorneys have submitted this to the court only to find out that they submitted something that was essentially just completely fabricated.
Someone got caught, right?
I'll go back to it, Microsoft, just a bit here. You know, using even a Microsoft Teams, to your point, in regards to worrying about if it's going to be accurate or not, you also have transcripts. You also have actual recordings, voice recordings, recording of the meeting, the video recording of the meeting. So you've got redundancy when it comes to that, besides pulling up the Copilot tool to just click one button, give me a summary of the meeting. So, you know, no one wants to sit through an hour of watching a video of a Teams meeting when you already were there and have to go back and refer to it. Whereas this Copilot tool, with recapping it, is going to just save so much time and make the meeting more efficient, and you being efficient. So,
yeah, please do not think that I'm a naysayer. I am not naysayer. But this is just one of those things that we're going to have to be cautious about. It feels a little bit to me like testing a spreadsheet, you know, that if you're going to have to test it two or three times before you can really get comfortable with it. But this is just so much more sophisticated.
Yeah.
Someone had a really interesting point that it's all learning from us. What happens when no one is writing anything anymore and it's just learning from itself? Now it is scooping up its own writing and learning from it, which could be right or could be wrong, and it's going to stagnate because it's not going to get better because it cannot be better than itself. And someone even gave the advice, go into like Google search and limit it to before 2023, and your quality of answers you get in Google is much better than what you're getting if you include last year that has AI answers in it. And I thought, oh, that's scary, actually.
Yeah, it is. So great conversation. I want to continue on a little bit here. A couple of fun AI things that have been out there that I've discovered, and I think many have, is this the ability of being able to create songs and music. I thought this was amazing. Two of them that are here, Udio, which is kind of, I think, short for From Studio, allows you to be able to type in particular information about what the song should sound like or what did you want to talk about. Like I tried, create me a theme song of In Touch with iOS with Jeff and Ben, and it could be rock music. And then it would just create a nice little beat, nice little sound. And it's kind of fun to do here. I don't know if any of you have tried this yet, but I think this is another area besides photos and other things that AI can do that is something we could be very interesting, you know, even for creators like us or for people other to want to just create a song and it's not copyrighted, at least for now. I don't know if have any of you guys tried this service at all, but the first one is Udio. This is in beta right now. And the other one was called Suno. And that one also works very similarly by creating songs. And you can also, it's collaborative. It allows you to see other songs that people create as well. But just amazing that it can create a 1 or 1.5 minute song of something. And sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not so great. I think Jeff can attest to that, right?
Yeah. It's right now, this to me, it's a good way to describe it. Okay. Actually, I got it. So what we're doing with LLMs and an image generation and now music generation, to me, it's a lot like lightning jars. Mm-hmm. And for the people that don't know, a lightning jar was a thing a few hundred years ago, where you would have these jars that would do little lightning bolts inside them. So, you know, it was static electricity discharge.
Right.
And it's because no one had a practical use for electricity beyond a parlor trick in entertainment. And I think right now where we are with all these technologies in this group, this is our new lightning jar. And people will play with them and they'll be clever and fun and silly and screwed up. And then later on, we'll see the real practical uses for the general public. The practical uses for enterprise, I mean, that's been well established and it's not glitzy, fancy stuff, but it's why a lot of companies are able to keep your data safe.
Yeah, that's true. How about you, Chuck? Would this have you tried to try this at all? Is something you'd be interested in? Or?
Listen, you know, you're always interested in playing with it because you never know when you're going to need one of these tools. There's so many. We are such early days on this stuff. You sort of glossed over the fact that you can't copyright anything yet. There's so many legal challenges to some of this stuff, not just the music and not just the images, but all of it, that you really have to be careful what you source, how you use it and all. But yeah, to play with it. And right now, until some laws are established, why not take advantage of it?
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's definitely interesting, I think. A couple of comments in the chat room. Guy, aka Vert Shark, how you doing, Guy? He was talking a little bit about AI as well as Witherbucket. That's Jill's brother here that's hanging out with us. He said, I've heard you can put a minus AI search addendums to make better searches. And suppose you just not use a search engine and just use AI. You know, I've done that tons of times and just ask AI a question. And it's definitely an interesting way of finding things and being able to create something with AI. And I know the guys used Suno, and he kind of got me hooked onto that and creating music. So I think there's some great stuff out there too. Everybody's here on the chat here on our YouTube channel, which is at youtube.com. It's live, youtube.com/intouchwithios. So come join us. We've got a good crowd here tonight. Appreciate it. Good stuff. Let's go ahead and move on to the news this week. Some news stories. Our favorite piece of software, iMazing. They have now their new version 3, is finally out. It was an updated version for the iPhone and the iPad. It's management software designed for Macs and Windows machines now, amazingly. iMazing 3 features are updated with a user interface. I really like this interface. It's really much more clean and more streamlined. It's got a dedicated Discover section that makes it easier to find popular tools, such as doing things like transferring photos from an iPhone, downloading messages, transferring music, making backups. It's got a device overview section that offers details about connecting products like serial numbers, model numbers, device IDs. So much easier to find this information. But the biggest thing is it's a backup tool. It's a good alternate, if not primary, backup tool besides iCloud for your iOS or iPadOS device. Also, they added support for Vision Pro. So you also, if you have a Vision Pro device, you can back that up and be able to access that as well. So one of my all-time favorite tools, I think everybody here, I would assume, has it or uses it. And a good welcome upgrade. And if you have the version 2 license, it is either a really inexpensive or a free upgrade for it. So I don't know if any of you guys tried this yet.
Yeah, I did try it. I bought it after Brittany suggested it on the show. It's great. And I love the new upgrade. The interface is fantastic. I really like it.
Yeah. Agree.
I have not moved up to version 3 yet, but it's been a busy week. And while I did have the opportunity to play with this during beta, I chose not to because I don't beta data backups.
Right. Well, I would do it as an alternate just to test it.
Yeah, I have not tried the new version either, but iMazing is one of those. There are a few utilities out there that are just like requirements. And so if you have an iPad or an iPhone, this is one that you just plunk the money down and get it because you're going to need it. You're going to use it. It's more a matter of figuring out all the things it can do, but over and above backups. So,
yeah, the first time you realize that you have a iMessages conversation that you need to extract and keep separate. And there's no real way to do that on device. iMazing pays for itself right there.
Sure does.
Or when you find out that an app you rely on is no longer available on the App Store, but it's in your iMazing backups.
It is. Definitely is. So moving on, Apple has reportedly stopped production of that fine woven accessories case line. They have stopped making these accessories. This was an Apple leaker that says this, so it is a bit of a rumor, but I can kind of lean towards it. The sales have not been very good. They did stop doing leather accessories in September of 2023, replacing them with these environmentally friendly, fine woven material. The company described as luxurious, durable microwill and overpriced. And I don't think a lot of people like the case. And I felt it out. I stopped buying Apple cases. I think they just don't make very good quality pick cases. They always wore out on me.
Yeah.
So what do you think, Jeff?
I never owned one of the fine woven cases.
I mean,
the abuse that I would give them every time I went into the store had me questioning if they're really as bad as people think. However, there's a difference between playing with something and seeing how bad you can scratch it up and then buying it and watching it get scratched up. Apple needs to get a new team on cases.
They do. I agree with that. Any other additional thoughts, Chuck or Joe?
I'm allergic to most synthetic things, and so I really like leather cloth, and I know I'm not a vegetarian or vegan who it would look for something else, but I just think less chemicals are better, and so I just tend to like things that are real things, you know, and I don't know. My Apple leather case held up all right. That one's been good, so I haven't had trouble.
Yeah.
With durability on it.
And so
I don't know. I guess, you know, I looked at these and they didn't appeal to me for no reason other than it just, they didn't appeal to me. But at the same time, you know, anytime you're talking about a cloth of any kind, unless it's some truly exotic material, I think you're going to see some of what we've seen with the fine woven cases, from the scratching, the denting, the staining. So, you know, I'm not sure maybe if the expectations weren't a little bit too high for this. That doesn't excuse anything. It just is, you know, a different way of measuring it.
Yeah. So let's go move on in the next story. Sonos, they have launched a redesigned app with customizable screens for more personalized listening. They unveiled a redesigned app that's meant to unify an increasingly fragmented streaming market. The app is focused around a customizable home screen that supports more than 100 streaming services. Holy guys. So that each user can have set up a personalized listening experience. The home screen layout can be customized, and it displays the services that each user sets up, along with the controls and access to the content. Quick access for this and stuff. This is great. This works in tandem with what I own, which is the Sonos Move. I have the first generation Sonos Move, which still works great. Even though they have a new model out now, I did not upgrade. But good to see that Sonos is making some changes to this, because, yeah, it was kind of archaic having to add all these services and can't get to them. What do you think, Jill?
I have Sonos, and I like it.
Oh, you do?
I try not to get involved into all these services. And I like the idea of bringing them all in, but I would rather just use Apple Music and stream it places, or use my podcast and stream it places and not get involved in their app at all. Sure. So I'm curious, but I doubt I will use it.
Okay. How about you, Chuck?
I have Sonos gear. I like it. Unfortunately, I sort of shied away from it, or slid away from it, in favor of some of the other solutions, including the Apple HomePods. So yeah. It's one of those things, like Jeff was saying about a piece of software earlier, I need to find time to get around to it and checking it out. And maybe it'll drag me back in. Cause no question, Sonos makes great gear.
Oh yeah. Sure. Run your thoughts, Jeff.
If Sonos has done something that makes it easier, more user-friendly to use their gear, great. If what they've done is added a new layer of complexity, because now everything has to be done just through their software and their tools, yeah, I don't think that's going to sit well with some people.
Yeah, agree. A couple other stories here. Mophie, it's always been my favorite case company over the years. They announced they launched juice pack battery cases that are designed to work with the iPhone 15 lineup. Like Mophie's prior juice pack cases, the latest version attaches to the iPhone and provides a little extra battery life during daily use. Case comes apart in two pieces, and it can be fit, and it fits the iPhone inside, just like they've done before. So they've took care of that. I don't know. I use the Mophie case quite a bit, at first, but then I finally decided, you know what, the battery life on the iPhones have improved enough so that I think they're I don't know if it's even worth it. Some people, it depends on how much you use your phone, I guess. If you're using it a lot, I guess it's nice to have that extra battery. They got those batteries, like Scotia has the one you can use to touch to the MagSafe, and you know, these were the old cases that you have to actually put the case on. It's a combination case battery. So what do you think on this, Chuck?
Again, Mophie does great stuff. There are a lot of options out there. Mophie, you always have to look at the Mophie stuff if you're in the market for something like this.
Yeah, because they're
going to be very competitive, feature rich. It, like some of these type of, in my opinion, so many of these type of accessories, mm-hmm. it just has to fit you. If their designs fit you and the feature set fits you, great. But the odds are that Mophie's going to have something that comes pretty close if it doesn't hit it right on the head.
Yep. What about you, Jeff? Jill?
I know people have owned him, but I've never had personally, but they liked, everyone I've talked to likes owning them. So
always did. Not by you, Jeff. Yeah.
Dave, you made, I think, a really important point when you said, battery life's so good. Don't really need the charger, yeah. portable charger thing anymore. I agree with you. However, if you're someone who's doing a lot of photography, a lot of video work, or you're just out in the field and your iPhone is the primary, or maybe you're doing like camera red work, but then you also need to be able to shoot like extra daily content and you're doing that from an iPhone, boy, you're going to need some extra power to go along with that. And yeah. for me, if I were in that position, the first place I would go is Mophie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. So a couple other stories here. Apple is going to finally plan to release a calculator app for the iPad later this year. This is according to a source familiar with the matter from Mac Rumors here. iPad OS 18 will include the built-in calculator app for all iPhone iPad models that are compatible with the software updates, which we'll probably hear about at WWDC. And it was reported, if you go back, way back, when Craig Federighi talked to Marcus Brownlee in 2020, he had said to him at the time that the company simply hasn't gotten around to releasing a great calculator app for the iPad. But that day may come. So it's been 4 years, so it may come. Right, Jeff?
Okay. I have to be very careful to not roll my eyes, because I will roll them so far my retinas will detach. The big news here shouldn't be, hey, Apple's going to do this really cool calculator app for the iPad. It's, look how long the iPad has been on the market, and we still don't have a calculator app. What we have now is a rumor that we will get one soon. Holy crap, that is ridiculous, and Apple should be very embarrassed.
They should.
All right, it might be a great calculator, but Apple should still be very embarrassed.
Yeah, too long. Right, Chuck?
I can't get excited over this one. I know a lot of people get really agitated over this. It seems very strange to me that there was not a calculator app for the iPad, good or bad, but there were plenty of third-party options. And so it's not like you went without. So, I have to admit though, at the beginning, did the iPad need a calculator app?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. From day one, it has needed a calculator app. From my perspective, this is like you go to the shoe store, you buy a really, really nice pair of shoes, and you leave the store, but there's no shoelaces. But it's okay, because like I can go buy shoelaces at another store, and I can get nice shoelaces. But the shoes that I bought, they just don't come with those. You wouldn't buy shoes that way. And yes, I know I'm making kind of a silly analogy here, but the point is, this was supposed to be the alternate option to having a computer. You can do everything on your iPad, but there's not a calculator app like there's been on the Mac since the day it was released.
That's a fair point, Jeff. I guess my reaction always was, I don't remember the last time I went looking for a calculator app on the iPad. but it depends on how you use your iPad. So,
and I use a calculator on my iPad a lot.
There you go.
But you're right. It's about how each person, yes, pCalc is what's on my iPads.
Right.
But you're right. It's about how each person uses their iPad. Most people probably don't even think about whether or not they have a nonlinear video editing tool on their iPad. But boy, I sure think about which one's installed on mine.
Yep. Great example. Great example. Yeah,
for sure. Jill, do you care if there's an iPad calculator on your iPad?
I didn't know it didn't have one until I saw this. And then I went, really? Really? It wasn't there. So,
no.
But I had pCalc as well. And so I probably installed it and never noticed all these years.
Yeah. Yeah.
That probably says a lot more about me and needing to get over it than anything else.
Yeah.
No, Jeff, it speaks to the fact that you use your iPad differently than I do, or Jill does, or Dave does.
Right.
Well, excuse me. I shouldn't speak for Dave because I don't know how he felt about it. But
I could give it or take it or leave it. But it is nice to, when you're on your iPad, do I need to go to my iPhone and use a calculator? No. So I think it'll be a welcome. But I use pCalc as well. It's, yeah. Most people probably won't miss it much, I wouldn't think. Couple more stories here on Vision Pro. Apple cuts Vision Pro shipments as demand falls sharply beyond expectations. Apple has dropped the number of Vision Pro units that it plans to ship in 2024, going from an expected 700,000 to 800,000 units to just 400,000 to 450,000 units. According to that great analyst, Ming-Chi Kuo, orders have scaled back. I know we love him. Orders have scaled back before the Vision Pro had launched, and in markets, of course, they're not anything really outside the United States as it is anyway. So I know this is rumors, but the other article, I'll just kind of package it in here, is that interest has really been dying down in a lot of retail stores. They're noticing that I'm sure it's like not even a problem to walk in and get the demo right away, and demand has been way down. That people have been booking appointments off and don't even show up. And sales, at least in some locations, have gone from a couple units a day to just a handful the whole week. So you're getting some accurate stuff here. But are we surprised? I mean, it's a $3,500 device. It's a niche item. It's version 1.0. You know, I don't know if you did the demo, Jill, but all of us here have done the demo besides. And yeah, it was great. It was fun. It was interesting. I don't think it's $3,500 interesting. So are we surprised? What do you think, Jeff?
Not surprised. And keep in mind that when a new product is released, you have the immediate interest, and there's all the hype around that. So you're going to have a higher level of in-store traffic for that product. And related to that would be, as that initial hype kind of fizzles out, the number of sales will probably go down with it. So what we're seeing right now, I'm not really concerned. I feel like this is just part of the cycle. And we know Apple is playing a long game with this product. Yeah. So I expect we will see more versions, different price points happening. All right, but now we got to talk about Ming-Chi Kuo.
Yeah.
Why? And I say this all the time. Why do people think this guy has a magic crystal ball and is always right? Because he's not. Now, the information that he has, there's probably nuggets of truth in it. How he's interpreting that may not necessarily be correct. And my interpretation, without trying to be like an apologist or anything, just knowing how product ramp up cycles work, you have that initial ramp up, and this is Apple's MO, where they build up a large inventory of parts, and they're making product, and as they get into the full product cycle and have hit product launch, then there's a ramp down for how many parts they're buying. So what I'm hearing out of this is that Apple is following their standard operating procedure for parts purchase and management. Now, are they seeing sales that are way below expectation? Who knows? They're not going to tell us. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't. I think they're seeing sales that are below what analysts were expecting, and that's important only in the sense that there are people that will be making investment decisions based on what those analysts say. But that doesn't mean that they are reflecting what Apple is actually doing and what their strategy is and what their targets are.
Yep, I agree with you. Jill, have you done the demo? Did you do the demo?
I didn't do the demo. I did, you know, I've been reading and watching everyone talk about it. And I noticed some of their best apps that it had were apps I have on my Oculus, not to compare them, because I believe the video quality is so much different. Mm-hmm. But a couple of things. I think he's right. I think that it's winding down. They knew it was going to wind down at some point. I heard another rumor that another Vision Pro is coming in September. And as soon as that rumor gets out, people are going to go, oh, well, I'm going to wait and see what the next thing has. Yeah. And there was always a dedicated pool of people who were really into this, really excited for this, or just have so much money they don't even care. And those people are going to run out. And the rest of us are just waiting for the next thing and to see what happens next. So I don't think it's surprising. Jill, I bet you they're not surprised.
Yeah. Jill, you triggered something for me, which is not triggered in a bad way, just like triggered a thought. So thank you for making my brain work. I do appreciate it. Should work at least once a day just to keep it functional. Right now, we have a problem for Vision Pro, which will presumably be addressed over time. The same problem we had with iPad and iPhone at various points in their life cycles, which is a lack of apps that the average person wants to use. So once we start getting more of that content, then I think that we will probably see an upswing in sales because people need to be spoon-fed. And until you're spoon-feeding them, here's how you're going to use this product. Most people aren't going to get it. Not that they're stupid. It's just they're not wrapping their head around this new thing. So it'll take time. But who knows? Maybe 2 years from now, we'll be looking back on this saying, wow, Apple really failed to get the support. And now we have another Apple iPod Hi-Fi on our hands.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good analogy.
Oh, no.
Chuck, you got the last word on this.
Oh, I don't know if I want the last word, Dave. Everything that's been said before up to this point is true. You know, there's going to be a dip. We have the questions over what can you do with this? What do you really need the Apple Vision Pro for? It is an amazing demo, and I feel like there's so much promise there. It's just a matter of starting to realize that promise. You know, we all have heard the comments about it being too heavy. I didn't find it too heavy, but that's me. But there have to be reasons to do things in the Vision Pro that either you can't really do anywhere else or you can't do as well. And that's what's going to drive it. Plus the fact that, it's a 1.0 product. I mean, it's slick. There is nothing to compare it to, no matter how many times Zuckerberg wants you to compare it to his stuff. It just is not there. The only similarity is it puts something over your head and your eyes. Other than that, you know, it's a totally different experience. But will people use it? Will the developers support it? Will they figure out a way to have it be a superior experience? That's what we all have to wait for.
Yeah, for sure. So that all is news for this week, but a couple of announcements I wanted to make. Speaking of Vision Pro, our friends Marty Gentius and Eric Bolden both started a new Vision Pro podcast. I'm so excited. I wanted to make sure I give them a plug and let everybody know about it. It's called The Vision Pro Files. It's a weekly prosumer podcast on the Apple Vision Pro. They have contacted some visioneers when they hope to bring them onto the show and discuss news, new apps, and applications on the Vision Pro. We've had the pleasure of having them on Mac Voices Live, and Marty has, of course, been on the show a number of times already. So I wanted to give them a plug. I'm real excited to see that they're sprouting out and telling us a little more about Vision Pro, since they have them and they can really give us some insights on that stuff. So I think episode one has already been published. So check it out. Give it a listen. Also, MacStock is coming. It's July 12th through the 14th in Crystal Lake, Illinois. MacStock conference, as we've been talking about a bunch of times, is an absolutely great conference. You can join all of us here on this panel are speaking. We're 77 days away from, as we record here, to MacStock. It's the theme of Level Up. We'll have some presentations and we'll have workshops for the first time on Friday. We have a bunch of folks that'll be doing some workshops. So it's absolutely great a way to network with people, have some fun. And we all still have to get our talks together. We're still working on them, but you're going to hear about them soon, what we're going to talk about. But aren't you guys excited? I know I'm excited. Jill, you're going to get to speak again. And Chuck and Jeff, of course, have spoke many times before.
Yeah, very excited.
It's going to be a blast. It always is.
I am super excited. It's so much fun to get to hang out with all of you in person. And that extends out to all the people that come to MacStock. Yeah. It's just like, it recharges me.
It does.
Yeah.
I would agree with that comment. So come check it out. We would love to see you and meet you and network with you. And it's going to be here before you know it. So looking forward to it with all of you. There will be there. I know many of you out there listening are going to be there. So we look forward to it. But with that, let's go ahead and wrap up for this week. That's a wrap. Please send your comments, questions, and suggestions to our email address, which is feedback@intouchwithios.com. You can follow us on Mastodon, which is at intouchwithios at techhangout.social. Support the show by buying me a coffee at intouchwithios.com/coffee. We'd really appreciate it. You can become a patron of the show by going to patreon.com/intouchwithios. We have two tiers available to support the show. We would really appreciate it. And make sure you like, share, and subscribe so you're notified when we're live streaming on Thursday nights, which is at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, on our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/intouchwithios. So it's great to see Guy and Cletus and Wayne and Jill's brother and a lot of other places, a lot of other folks that are in the chat this week. So you can come join us live while we're streaming and join us. I leave the live stream up so you can watch it later, as well as you can listen to past shows. You can visit In Touch with iOS magazine on Flipboard, where many of the topics we discuss are flipped into that magazine. This link is in our show notes. You can subscribe to the show in your favorite podcatcher, including Pocket Casts, Overcast, Apple Podcasts with transcripts, and many others. But better yet, go to our website, which is intouchwithios.com, where all the links to all the ways to listen to us is on that website. I am Dave Ginsberg. You can find me on Mastodon, which is at DaveG65 at mastodon.cloud. Jill McKinley, thank you so much for being here. Please tell us where we can find you.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. It was great seeing you all. The best place to find me is abetterlifeinsmallsteps.com. That is the hub for all my podcasts. And it's nice. A blog article, too. Yeah, blogs.
Awesome. Great. Thanks for being here. And so great to have you here this week, Chuck. Join us. Give us a recap a little bit on NAB. And always a pleasure having you here. Where can people find you?
Thank you for having me, Dave. MacVoices.com is where you can find everything that I'm doing, including, as I said, more NAB interviews coming in the days and weeks ahead. And also on Mac Voices Live, Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, whatever time it is, wherever you are, at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. Come on over and join us. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much, Chuck. And last but certainly not least, Jeff Gamet. Always a pleasure having you here. Where could people find you?
It's always a treat to get to be here, so thank you. How about social media? Jay Gamet on everything, but I'm active right now on Mastodon, Instagram, and Threads. And then for shows, Chuck's Mac Voices Live on Tuesdays. Here with you on In Touch with iOS on Thursdays. Then on the British Tech Network, The Big Show on Thursdays, The Mac Show on Fridays. And then Brian Chaffin and I also do The Context Machine.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. And thank everybody out there for listening and watching and being here. We really enjoyed doing the show, and I'm glad you were listening. And until next time, we'll talk again soon.